Let's come to our God now in prayer. Oh Lord God, we thank you today for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It promises that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We thank you for all those generations of your servants who have faithfully proclaimed salvation in Jesus Christ from one generation to the next. Help us to be also faithful proclaimers of that same gospel in our day, that the truth as it is in Jesus might continue to be with our children's children's children. We pray that you will bless your word to our hearts today. Grant to us listening ears, and may we grow in our faith. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be breaking away from our series on the book of Ephesians and looking at the book of Proverbs this morning, so we have the opportunity of witnessing the sign and seal of baptism being administered. So we'll see that in light of what the book of Proverbs says to us. And so there are two passages of Scripture which we'll be reading from. First of all, from Proverbs 23 and verses 13 to 25. And then we'll flip over to Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. Proverbs 23 and verses 13 to 25 are first Scripture reading, and then Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. And that first Scripture reading is found on page 752. Again, beginning at verse 13, hear God's word. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers or drunkards, or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. And then over to chapter 31, Proverbs 31 and verses 10 to 31. 10 to 31, so 10 to the end of the book. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And that concludes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless that in our hearing this morning. Well, we're going to be looking at the overall themes of Proverbs, so we don't have like one specific passage to be looking at this morning, just the overall themes that are there within the book of Proverbs this morning from our scripture reading, but also elsewhere. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, everyone has family. Young and old, married and single, male and female, everyone is involved in some kind of family. So the book of Proverbs speaks to every one of us. How does the Lord help us to live wisely, even beautifully, in our family relationships? That's what the Lord wants, and that's what we should desire as well. Now, when you come to the book of Proverbs, there are a few things that need to be noted before you can fully understand it. One thing that we need to note is that wisdom is expressed in condensed poetry. Each proverb is less than 25 words, and for the purpose of making it easier to remember and to put it in our memories. But the entire book is a collection of hundreds and hundreds of these short statements. They all deal with different themes like the beauties of wisdom, or of the power of words, or the importance of work, or temptations of immorality, or temptations of strong drink. It's very different from other parts of Scripture like the Gospels, or say one of the letters that Paul or Peter or one of the apostles wrote to the churches. And because it's very different from those other parts of Scripture, one does not preach it the same way. We look at it in terms of overall themes. What does it say on various themes? And the theme here is the one on family. The other important thing to note about Proverbs is its character. These sayings are presented to us as very broad, universal statements. They're presented to us as absolutes, as if there are no exceptions. And just to give an example of that, Proverbs 26 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him." That comes across as an absolute statement. We might come to the conclusion that every time you respond to the poor argument that a fool uses, you can't answer him according to his folly. It's presented to us as if there are no exceptions. But as we know, almost in the same breath as that, within the same section of Scripture, chapter 26 of Proverbs, it says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." And that says something to us that we have to understand when it comes to interpreting these verses. There are general statements made that are not necessarily taken to be as absolutes. There are words of wisdom that apply to life in general. And again, this is not going to be a message aimed at parenting only. It's going to be for all of us, because the Word of God addresses everyone. So we want to look at this book and what it has to say regarding the Lord's blessings to family, the blueprint of the family. 2 points for this morning's message. First of all, husbands and wives growing in wisdom toward one another. And then secondly, parents and children following the pattern of wisdom. Well, we read in Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 11, those words, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain." Proverbs 31 is a portrait of a woman of excellence. And I think it's fair to say that we consider this Proverbs 31 woman as quite a woman to imitate. She's strong. She gives a way for her family and for her community. She gives of herself away for that. She's a selfless creature. And perhaps we're asking ourselves, who can really be like this? Perhaps there's a young woman here saying that, you know, here's an ideal person that I can never be, this ideal woman. I could never be like that. But before we start to sigh with discouragement or write her off as some kind of dream woman that no one can attain, we have to remember a couple of very important points here. One is that this poem is written in praise of a wife's noble character. It's a hymn written to praise the noble character of a wife. According to the Bible, a God-fearing woman is to be honored. And that's what the church is called to do as well. It's to honor those who pattern themselves after the Word of God. And so one of the important features of this text is that it's a poem written in praise of the wife's noble character. And then as well, another very important point is to note that this is a portrait or a blueprint. While we may see this merely as an ideal woman who no one can attain to, scholars have recognized that there's more going on here than just the description of an ideal woman. As Derek Kidner, well-known scholar on the book of Proverbs, he says, "This lady's standard is not implied to be in reach of all." For example, not all women may have the same kind of material resources as she did. They may not have the same gifts. Neither can this passage be used as a standard for men to use against their wives. This is not only addressing women. This passage is also speaking to everyone. It speaks to males, it speaks to boys, to young men, and to husbands. Here's the blueprint or a portrait of domestic life. And in order to appreciate wisdom and in order to appreciate the Lord's very best for us, we have this picture, this guideline. All right, so that is one way to set this forward. Consider also how Proverbs 31 verse 11 says that the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. And the word therefore gain means plunder, spoil from a war. Why that wording? Because life's a struggle. It's a warfare. This woman is not living in a world where life is a breeze. She's living in a real world. And she's up to great challenges. No wonder the husband puts his trust in her. He feels honored to be her husband. She is the greatest treasure he has. In fact, there is only one person this husband puts his faith in more than his wife. He puts his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why she can have a deep place in his heart. She's an excellent wife. And for the wife who reads this, and for any other woman where there is that sense of defeat, how can I be like this? How can I be at this level of where the scriptures want me to be? This is where God's word carefully points us in the right direction. It really comes down to who you trust. God sees you as the ideal woman for your husband or your husband-to-be. The Father sees you as a precious gift in Christ. Christ's offering of himself for sin is where the value comes from. God affirms you through the strength of his only begotten Son by knowing him, by trusting him. And so this question does, or this passage begins with that question: where can you find a virtuous woman? There's no price tag. There's no way of giving the best price. Her worth is beyond rubies. The end of the passage says that her children are happy about her. They rise up early and they call her blessed. Well, this is where God's word addresses a husband. Perhaps he hasn't trusted and valued his wife as he should. He has not thought well of her. He has not grown in Christ in a way that should be trusting her. How does a husband do that? Well, not by browbeating his wife. The Lord doesn't treat us that way, but he encourages her. As Proverbs 31, verses 28 and 31 say, her husband also calls her blessed, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her at the gates. The key word there is praise. He praises her. That's what the children hear from him. There are no put-downs, no insults, no fault-finding, no neutral silence, but rather a positive, life-giving praise. The picture here is of the wise woman giving herself to her family and to others, and she receives praise in her home and in her community. That's what the Lord calls wisdom. When homes and churches are filled with this beautiful wisdom, where men are not passive but cultivating the excellence of their wives, and these wives are growing and thriving under this. And so, husbands, let me ask you today, are you valuing your wife? Are you praising her and speaking well of her? Are you showing your love and your care for her with your words? The Word of God encourages us to speak well of them and to value them. Tell her in front of your family at the dinner table, today maybe, or sometime this week. Verse 29 says the word excel. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Excel means power, strength, that which is from the upper class. The Lord wants to see your wife becoming more and more excellent because of your influence in her life. And he wants to hear you and your kids cheering her along the way. And so this isn't merely just a pep talk. This is the gospel. This is how the Lord wants Christian families to be and how your wife is treated. You know, you think of Ephesians 5 and what it says about this. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That's the Lord's concept of the marriage. So if you cannot bring yourself to praise your wife, and you live with her in a sullen, silent, defeated mediocrity, there's a reason. You haven't seen how Christ is and what he has done. Christ is a glorious, gracious Savior. There's no complaint in him. There's love in him. Love for his bride. And so there's a call for repentance. Men, have we robbed our families of Christ's love? Have we truly and worthily represented Christ to our families? Or have we denied the gospel in our homes? Because the Lord was radical. He did this for us. He went to the cross, and it changed everything forever. And he put you with your wife because he loves her. We're called to do the same. 1 Peter 3 says, you're to dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. And so this hymn of praise, it calls us to praise and honor the godly women in our churches. For charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Leads us to our second point, which is parents and children following the pattern of wisdom. And here we read many things in the book of Proverbs that talk about this. Proverbs 23, verse 25, we read that earlier. It says, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Proverbs 15, verse 20 says, a wise man, or wise son rather, makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. And here also, Proverbs 20, verse 20, it says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. So what's this getting at? Well, this is speaking about the opposite of wisdom. The opposite of wisdom. Despising and cursing are similar. This runs contrary to the fifth commandment, which we heard this morning. Honor your father and your mother. This is calling on our children here today. We all have a parent. And so God is speaking to all of us here. And what is the Lord teaching? Well, to despise our parents is to treat them below us. Whereas to honor your father and your mother is to treat with worth because they are your parents. That's what we owe them. That's a word to teenagers who may think that their parents are dumb. The Lord says, even if you think that they're dumb, you're still to respect them. This is the Lord's grace and wisdom being filled in a Christian home. Children, think of what that means for you. Proverbs 31, verse 28 says, her children, this is talking about the virtuous woman, the virtuous wife. It says, her children rise up and they call their mother blessed. Now, is that something that you do, children? Have you ever thanked your mom for all that she does? You know, the world is screaming right now how the woman has been liberated from the slavery of the domestic virtue and submission to their husbands. Well, that's nothing. But the Word of God praises a woman for her virtue, for her priority on the home, and for her submission to her husband. It's not easy to have to wake up at night to nurse a child, night after night after night. It isn't easy to have to wake up for a child who has just had a nightmare. But the Lord praises you for this. The woman of Proverbs 31 rises while it is yet night. Her lamp does not go out by night. Think of some of the older generation of women who had piles of laundry to wash. I had to darn socks and put patches on worn out pants. The world looks at that as foolishness. But the Lord doesn't. He praises the woman who clothes her children. Think of all the good that godly and virtuous mothers have done, and for the legacy that they have left, the legacy that they have left with their generations, the next generation. And so is your home one where Jesus Christ is loved? Is Christ the head of your home? And where you're expected to live as a Christian? That's the faith. The Word of God is saying, don't let that faith die. Keep it alive. Keep it burning for the next generation. That's what God's covenant mercies teach us. You think of the baptism this morning of little Felix and the promises that have been extended to the Cavers family. The Lord is promising to be the Lord to him, to be his God. He's also extended the promises of mercy to him through the gift of his only begotten Son, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. God is saying, receive his promises by faith and walk in that newness of life. And fulfill the words of Proverbs here. Let your father and mother be glad. Let him who bore you rejoice. May that indeed be the blessing that is experienced from this day forward for years and decades to come and into eternity. Well, here there's also that calling for parents to follow the pattern of wisdom. Proverbs 23, verse 30 or 22 says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. This is where God's word is needed, so that in the years of children growing up, they need discipline. They need correction. There's more at stake for your children than getting into the best school or the best sports or the best jobs. Your child, has an eternal destiny. God's calling you as parents to train up your child to the way of heaven. How's that to happen? Well, we might think that good parents care for the physical well-being of their children. Good parents care for the mental and social well-being of their children. They care for their physical side. That's what good parenting certainly is about. But the best parents, the wisest parents, the ones following Christ, give their time and their energy to the spiritual well-being of their children. Their goals are not just success and fulfilling a dream. Their concern is to guide them in the right path, to keep them from the pitfalls of hell. Like Proverbs says, Proverbs 23, hear my son and be wise and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with drunkards or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe the man with rags. Avoid the way of the immoral woman. Proverbs 5 talks about that. Proverbs 5 says, her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. There's a need for correction. As Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. There needs to be correction. They need Christ-centered, Christ-directed, Christ-filled Parents who care for the souls of their children and who want them to, above all else, love and serve the Lord all their days. So yes, we're to be good listeners, good observers. We're to hold our teens to account. We're to help them be responsible with their lives. We're to always keep their hearts as the main focus and that their hearts are right with God. Proverbs 29, verse 17 gives us that encouragement. Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will also give delight to your soul. That's what the Lord says to parents. Well, there's a lot more that could be said about this, obviously. But we'll conclude with one more thought. As Christians, we all are sons and daughters of the Lord. Wisdom is addressed to all of us. Christ is the embodiment of wisdom. He speaks to us through wisdom of his word, and he leads us according to his plan of redemption. As his sons and daughters, we're being trained by Christ through life in his redemption and by his sovereignty. Sometimes it's not always easy to be a child of God. The Lord, by his Spirit, may bring conviction of sin. Life can be hard for us. Sometimes we might become bitter in our hearts. We don't like his leading. We chafe. But here Proverbs gives us that excellent advice. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. The Lord does what he does in our lives so that we can go and bear for him the peaceable fruits of righteousness, as Hebrews 12 talks about. That's encouragement to rest in his wisdom and to trust in his perfect grace in Jesus Christ. And so may the Lord bless that with that, bless us all with that grace, because without it, we can do nothing. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have blessed us with, for your word that we could read and consider this day through the preaching of it. We ask that you would grant to us open ears and hearts to the application to our own lives. We pray that you will purge us through your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to grow closer to you and to grow in our understanding of you through your word, to be daily in it, to be families that are Christ-centered in all that we do. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you, asking for your forgiveness of our sins, that you'd wash us clean through your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.